start just to our meeting tonight. We'll be singing together the hymn number 290. The hymn number 290 in your hymn book is a well-known gospel hymn, Great Words of Truth. The hymn writer says, "Come with me, visit Calvary, where our Redeemer died. His blood it fills the fountain, 'tis full, 'tis deep, 'tis wide. He died from sin to sever our hearts and lives complete. He saves and keeps forever those lying at his feet," reminding us of the great truth that the Lord is one who saves and keeps his people unto life eternal. 290, 290 on the page 293 will stand as we sing, and singing it with all of our heart.
Come with me, visit Calvary, where our Redeemer died. His blood it fills the fountain, his guilt is deep, his wine. He went from sin to sinner, our hearts and lives complete.
Just unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us just look to the Lord for his help and blessing with us this night. Our gracious God, our loving Father in heaven, we draw nigh to thee, O God, tonight. The Savior's precious and worthy and all holy name, we approach unto thee tonight. And Father, we thank thee for the words of this hymn of which have been singing, that thy word declares that Christ is one who is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. And Father, we thank thee for this priceless treasure that is our portion tonight as the people of God. We rejoice, O God, tonight in the precious blood of Christ, that blood that cleanseth us from all sin, that makes us holy in the sight of God. Now, Father, we thank thee, Father, that thou hast promised in thy word that when I see the blood, I will pass over thee. We thank thee, O God, that we've been saved from the wrath to come through the blood of the Lamb. And we rejoice, O God, tonight as thy people in the forgiveness of sins. We rejoice, O God, in the wonder of thy grace, grace that is sufficient for every need, grace that saves and grace that keeps. And Father, we rejoice, O God, in the great hope of life everlasting, life evermore. And Lord, we thank that this is our prize, this is our inheritance as the people of God. And Lord, thou hast told us in thy word that there's no power on earth, there is no power in hell that can ever pluck us out of thy hand. And O God, as we come to thee tonight, we just return thee thanks and praise for all thy mercies to us throughout today already. We thank thee for thy hand upon us and our going out and our coming in. We thank thee, Father, for every temporal mercy, thy preserving hand upon us, every good and every perfect gift that comes from thee, our God and our Father. And Lord, help us day by day to be mindful of thee and of thy mercies. For thy word declares that it is thee and thee alone that we live and move and have our being. And Father, we thank thee for ordering our steps to gather here tonight in this prayer meeting. And Father, we realize that it is thy presence that makes the feast. And Lord, we would ask that thou wilt abide with us tonight, that we might know that gracious, conscious sense of the presence and of the nearness of the Lord. We thank that thou hast promised thy people, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And Lord, draw near tonight. Outpour thy Spirit upon us. Bless our hearts tonight around thy word of around the word of God. And as our brother would give the report and tell of that work that he is involved in, we pray that our own hearts and souls might be stirred and that we might be encouraged greatly in the Lord. Bless all who have gathered tonight, Lord. Bless every head bowed before thee. As our faces differ, so do our needs. But Lord, we're looking to thee to meet us at the very point of our need. Bless every family, every household, Lord, represented. Meet the needs of all our homes and our families, and just unite every family circle in the Lord. Again, Lord, for those unable to join with us tonight because of age and sickness and infirmity, we do bring them, Lord, to thee in the arms of faith. And we pray that thou wilt bless them and strengthen them. Lord, those that have suffered loss in recent times, we pray that they too will know the comforting hand of God. Again, Lord, we return thee thanks for the meetings here over this past weekend and all whom thou didst bring in under the sound of thy word, and especially those that were in unsaved out of Christ. Lord, do speak on to their hearts, we pray, and be pleased to save them by the grace and power of God. We thank thee for the children's meeting tonight in Tresna, Lord, and bless the boys and girls there that have heard thy word this night. Write it upon their hearts, we pray. And Father, we pray for them that early in life they'll come to know the Lord and that thou wilt bless the homes and the families from which they come from. Again, Lord, we pray for all the other children's meetings throughout this week, tomorrow night and Thursday and Friday as well. Bless every meeting. Bring in the boys and girls. Bless our sister Jillian as she ministers thy word, and all who would help, we pray, may they know the help of God. And Lord, visit these meetings, Lord, in a mighty way. And may many children come to know and to trust the Lord as Savior. Bless our land tonight. We pray for other prayer meetings such as this and gospel missions and ministry meetings on at this time. Wherever thy word is faithfully proclaimed, Lord, bless it, we pray, and use it, Lord, to the extension of thy kingdom. Bless our brother tonight who has come. We thank thee for him and for his ministry. We do thank thee for that good measure of health and strength that thou hast given to him. Continue to bless him and his wife and encourage them in their service for thee, we pray of thee. And Lord, as he would bring the report and bring thy word tonight, may know that anointing that comes from God afresh upon him. And Lord, bless him and make him a blessing. And even, Lord, as he would seek to deal with these issues, Lord, that are in so much to the fore in our society today, bless him, give him courage and strength and help. And Lord, use him, Lord, as a witness, Lord, for thee in these days in which we live. So, Father, bless us now, we pray. Abide with us. Do our hearts good. Glorify thy name and all that will be said and done. For we ask it all in the Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen. We're going to turn again, please, in our hymn book to hymn number 423. The hymn number 423 in the page 347. I must have the Saviour with me, for I dare not walk alone. I must feel His presence near me and His arm around me thrown. 423, we'll stand as we sing. I want to welcome everyone tonight in the Lord's name. It's good to see all who have gathered out with us this evening. I know it's a wet evening and you'd be easily tempted to stay at home at the fire, but good to see you here tonight. I trust indeed that each one will know that fire of God afresh in our hearts and in our souls as we gather around the things of God. Do please remember the meetings over the weekend. Pray for them. The Friday night children's meeting here, 6:30. The youth fellowship at 8 p.m. and then the services on the Lord's Day, Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m. morning worship service at 12 noon, and the evening gospel meeting at 7. And in the will of the Lord, I belong to minister God's word. Pray for the meetings. Do all you can to invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's word. Now, we give a very special welcome tonight to our good brother in Christ, Mr. Cecil Andrews, who leads the work of Take Heed Ministries. He was here a number of years ago, and we were blessed through his ministry and fellowship on that occasion. He was to be back at the beginning of this year, but due to ill health, was unable to join with us. But we're glad to have him with us here tonight, and he's going to bring a report and an update on his work, that he deals many of the issues that are to the fore today, and then he'll bring God's word as well. And then do remember the offering goes to help our brother in his work, so do remember that. please. So without further ado, we'll hand the meeting over now to our brother. Thank you.
Well, friends, I want to thank Reverend Porter for his warm words of welcome. As he explained, I was here on the 3rd of November, 2020, it was. And on that occasion, I shared with you my testimony. I was converted on the 19th of August, 1984, in the gallery of the Martyrs Memorial. And that certainly changed the direction of my life, that is for certain. Then, as he explained, I was supposed to have been here on the first Sunday of this year. But for a number of years, I had a grumbling gallbladder, if I could put it that way, and it was playing up. But thankfully, it was removed on the 24th of April this year, and I have to say, I've absolutely no adverse after effects. It has been wonderful, and it means that I can once more resume eating Ulster fries and pavlova with fresh cream. So every cloud has a silver lining, I can assure you in that. When I shared my testimony 3 years ago, I also talked about the ministry of Take Heed, and you would have discovered that I'm very fond of alliteration. I had a series of headings such as Resisting Rome, Exposing Ecumenism, Countering the Cults, Challenging Charismatism, Identifying Islam, Opposing the Occult, Championing Creation, and things like that. Well, there would be another heading that I would have had to add now since that. The heading I came up with was Proscribing Progressives. Now, proscribing, you've maybe heard of terrorist organizations being proscribed. It means that they are outlawed and they are condemned. Well, I am proscribing progressives because over these past few years, a movement of so-called progressive Christianity has sprung up around the world, including in Northern Ireland, and that has taken up quite a bit of my time, as you will hear as I speak to you tonight. So that's sort of the background. What have I been doing since I was last with you 3 years ago? Well, every 6 months I issue a sort of ministry update letter, and what I decided to do was go through those newsletters since I was last with you and pick out one or two subjects that I addressed and share them with you and hope that they may touch somebody's understanding of things that are happening. The first person that I want to mention is a man called Max Lucado. Max Lucado is a pastor in San Antonio, Texas. He's been there for a number of decades. Oak Hills Church, it used to be Oak Hills Church of Christ Church. They dropped the Church of Christ, but they haven't really dropped the problems that are with the Church of Christ. The Church of Christ require baptism for full salvation. They don't believe in baptismal regeneration, but they believe that if you profess to be a believer, to fully cement your conversion, you need to be baptized. Well, that is a Galatian error. You know, they're adding on some religious ritual to simple faith in Christ. And so that is one of the problems with Mr. Lucado. As I say, he's a prolific author. His books are found in countless Christian bookshops here in the province and around the world. I never warmed to his style. He has a great use of flowery language. He likes to embellish things drawn from his imagination and not drawn from the scriptures, that's for sure. And he would be one of those people that Paul wrote about in his second letter to Timothy. He said in chapter 4, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And Mr. Lucado has this great knack of using this flowery language and tickling the ears of people in the pews and also those who read his books. There's a number of other serious problems where Mr. Lucado is concerned. In the 1990s, there were a number of documents issued, ECT, Evangelicals and Catholics Together. And the second one was issued in 1997, The Gift of Salvation, and he signed that while he was basically recognizing Rome as a fellow Christian church, which of course it is not. Interestingly, he doesn't lay a lot of store on eternal security. He's quite ambivalent about it. If you want to believe in it, fine. If you don't. And I was struck by the last two lines of the first verse we sang tonight. He saves and keeps forever those lying at his feet. It's wonderful to know that if you're saved, you're saved for time and for eternity. So that was another problem with him. He's utterly ecumenical, as I say. He set up a fraternal in San Antonio, about 100 ministers of various shades and denominations, including women, are involved in it. So he's not averse to fraternizing with those who are simply opposed to the gospel, that's for sure. And in 1996, he spoke at a group called Promise Keepers. These kind of groups become all the rage for a period of time and then they fade into oblivion. Well, Promise Keepers was men, particularly in America, were meeting in big stadiums, 20, 30, 40,000, and they were all on fire and so on. But Promise Keepers, initially their statement of faith would have precluded Roman Catholics from being involved, but they wanted to bring a Roman Catholic onto the organizing committee, so they simply changed their basis of faith. They changed from faith alone in Christ to faith in Christ. Well, once you ditch the word alone, then you open it up to the likes of Roman Catholicism. So, as I say, that was one person that I wrote about in that newsletter a number of years ago. Also in that newsletter, I made the first reference to progressive Christianity. It was just starting to make an impact around the world and here. When I was with you last, I mentioned a thing called the emerging church, and I said it was a kind of loose affiliation of like-minded pastors around the world. It was informal, it was unstructured, it was non-creedal. Well, that was that then, but since then, if that was the bud, if you like, progressive Christianity is the flower or the weed, whatever you like, that has emerged from it. And it is structured, it is formal, and it is creedal. Many of these groups subscribe to an 8-point statement of faith. And in those 8 points of faith, the best that the Lord Jesus Christ gets referred to is the teacher, Jesus. That's the best that he gets. And I'll mention more about some of their points in their statement of faith as I go through the meeting tonight. So that's one thing that I mentioned in June of 2021. And then in the December 2021 newsletter, I said more about progressive Christianity. And there was a Presbyterian minister in Whitehead called Ian Carton, and his wife was June. His wife had stopped going to the church for about a year, and then he eventually handed in his resignation, not just from the church, but from the denomination. They were not well pleased with the PCI attitude towards LGBT, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender methods. In particular, they didn't like that the Presbyterian Church had broken fellowship with the Church of Scotland. Each year, the moderator here would have gone to the Church of Scotland and the Church of Scotland moderator would have come here. But the Church of Scotland, which is awful now, it was welcoming, you know, same-sex people and same-sex ministers being married and all that type of thing. Well, as I say, this couple, they decided they couldn't have that, so they left. And they joined for a period of time an organization called Left Side Up, which had an office up the Donegal Road. And this was supportive of LGBT people and their right to be regarded as Christians and so on. As well as them, in that organization, there was a lady called Lindsay Robinson. Now, who's Lindsay Robinson? Well, she would happen to be the wife of Gavin Robinson, the MP. And as I say, when I discovered that, it explained perhaps why, when he was on the campaign trail a number of years ago, Gavin Robinson was pictured standing between two men, and they had on red T-shirts, and he had this little tract which he was holding forward. And what did it say in the T-shirts and in the tract? Love, equality. Well, I realise that politicians have to sort of try and get votes from wherever and so on, but you don't do it at the expense of what should be your moral convictions and so on. And there he was promoting this idea of same-sex marriage and so on. So that was it. Thankfully, that Left Side Up office about 18 months ago, it shut up shop. I wasn't sorry to see it going at all, that's for sure. But it just shows you what is happening in religious circles. Another article in that particular newsletter was about a retired Anglican bishop called N.T. Wright. He was a high-ranking bishop. He's very highly respected around the world. He's a conference speaker and so on. But he doesn't get too many votes from me, that's for sure. He is utterly ecumenical. He was very supportive of the Alpha Course, which is a real tool for ecumenism. And what I wrote about in that particular newsletter was that there was a book published. This is the title, The Lost World of Adam and Eve, Genesis 2 to 3 and the Human Origins Debate. It doesn't exactly trip off the tongue, the title. It was by a Professor John Walton. But N.T. Wright contributed a chapter to it. And this was the title of his chapter. You thought the title of the book was bad. Really hear this. Paul's use of Adam is more interested in the effect of sin on the cosmos than in the effect of sin on humanity, and has nothing to say about human origins. So that was the title of his chapter. Well, thankfully, the author of this article in the Banner of Truth magazine wrote a very succinct response to that. He says this, "This single chapter heading is truly amazing. It has successfully encapsulated almost everything that is wrong with N.T. Wright's theology. Let me explain what I mean. This chapter heading contains Wright's low view of Scripture, his reinterpretation of Paul's writings, his minimizing the importance of the salvation of individuals, his emphasis on the redemption of the cosmos, and his belief in the evolutionary origins of humanity." In other words, he's utterly shredding much of what the Scriptures teach. N.T. Wright, a number of years ago, also promoted what came to be known as the New Perspective on Paul, which was a reinterpretation, if you like, of the book of Galatians. He said the book of Galatians, it's not really dealing with the issue of salvation. It's dealing with church membership. Well, the opening chapter of Galatians is dealing with the matter of salvation, because Paul was confronting the Judaizers. And Acts 15, verse 1 says that the Judaizers were insisting that circumcision was necessary for salvation. And that is what Paul was addressing in the chapter 1 of his letter to the Galatians. So N.T. Wright, like Max Lucado, if you happen to have any of his books on your bookshelf, I would suggest you have a wee bonfire with them. That would be my recommendation to you for them. Then, moving on to my June 2022 newsletter, the main ecumenical giant in Belfast is a minister called Steve Stockman of Fitzroy Presbyterian Church. He followed the Reverend Ken Newell, who's now retired, But Ken Newell was the main man when it came to ecumenical activity. So it was no surprise when Steve Stockman succeeded him in Fitzroy. And Steve Stockman, each year, along with his buddy, Father Martin McGill, in January, they organised what's called the Four Corners Festival. And in January of 2022, they were celebrating their 10th anniversary of this particular conference. So they wanted to do it big. So on the opening night, which was held in St. Anne's Cathedral, the highlight of the evening was a videotaped message from Pope Francis wishing them all the best for the event. The closing night a week later, the special guest in person was Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury, and he was speaking in St. Peter's Roman Catholic Cathedral up the Falls Road. So you can see the nature of this ecumenism. In the wake of that conference in April of 2022, Steve Stockman and Martin McGill were invited to an audience with Pope Francis in the Vatican. And he wrote about his experience there. He said this: "It was moving to receive his welcome. Pope Francis has a warmth about him. He has a humility that is perhaps not expected of popes or world leaders. He has an open and gracious heart. He has a Christ-likeness." Well, when I read that, I thought of 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 and 14, when Paul is writing about false apostles and deceitful workers transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And he goes on to say, "No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." So this whole push for ecumenical cooperation, it is certainly not of God. They can be sure of that. Then in that same letter, again, I addressed the subject of progressive Christianity, and I drew attention to a young man called Andrew Cunning. You may or may not know, but most Saturdays in the Belfast Telegraph, Alf McCreary, his page consists of responses to a questionnaire that he sends out to people of faith. He sends it out, they answer it, comes back, and he publishes it in the Belfast Telegraph. Very occasionally, you will get someone who is signed, but it is very occasionally. In February of 2022, it was this young man, Andrew Cunning. And this young man, he was at great pains to emphasise the fact that he's a theologian. He studied theology at Queen's. He went out to lecture on theology in Trinity, and he was teaching theology classes in different parts of the province. Just a couple of the questions. I mean, there's a whole series of questions, but this will give you a flavour of his theology. Question: "Are you afraid of hellfire?" "Absolutely not. One of the biggest sins of the church is the invention of the idea of hell. It has done untold mental damage to millions." So he thinks it is an invention of the church. Never mind what the Lord himself spoke about quite often on the subject of hell. Then, question: "Do you believe in a resurrection? And if so, what will it be like?" "I have no idea what the Bible means when it talks about a resurrection. I am much more compelled by its vision of what the world could look like if the wealthy and powerful were brought down and swords were beaten to plowshares. I really don't think a resurrection of the body will make everything okay. The work of building a kingdom of justice and mercy is continuous and now." So he's got no idea what the resurrection's like or about. Well, I feel like saying, well, have you never read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the great resurrection chapter? Have you never read about the raising of Lazarus, which is a picture of the future resurrection to come, and how when Lazarus was raised, after a number of days, he and Mary and Martha met with the Savior for a supper. And that's a picture of the marriage supper of the Lamb, which is to come. So that was Andrew Cunning. As I say, he teaches theology. And in the course that he taught, the second session was titled The Sources of Theology. And this is what he says: through exploring the four sources of theology and examining their relationship, this session sets us up to do theology in our own way. So he's got four sources of theology. Well, what are they? Reason, experience, tradition, scripture. But that would be cherry-picked scripture, because in the answers to Alf McCreary, he doesn't believe that the Bible is the inerrant, infallible word of God. So he has three human inputs into his theology: reason, experience, and tradition, and a little bit of scripture. Well, friends, there's only one reliable source of theology, and that is God's word. And once you input anything human into your theology, you're going to poison and pollute it. And that is exactly what this young man has been doing. So he was on to, there was one Sunday morning, in fact, it was in the town of Omagh. I was speaking in Omagh Independent Methodist Church on the subject of progressive Christianity. And a man said to me afterwards, that young fellow, Andrew Cunning, he was on Sunday Sequence. He was awful, he said, by the way, but there you go. So I listened to it later. And in the course of his interview, he just threw out a line, I'm bisexual, by the way, and moved on. And the interviewer, probably Audrey Carville, she just let it go over her head. She didn't pick him up on it. But that is the nature of these people. When it comes to a moral compass, I'm afraid they just don't appear to have one. Then moving on to the December 2022 newsletter, I wrote about a conference in Antrim called Kingdom Come Conference. It's organized by a church called Journey Community Church. They have a close affiliation with an American church, Bethel Church, in Redding, California. The Bethel Church would want to be one of the foremost leaders of a movement known as the New Apostolic Reformation, NAR. These are people who believe that there should be apostles and prophets in every church. If you don't have an apostle and a prophet, then you're not a proper church. That is the type of nonsense that they put out, because the church is built on the foundation of the apostles, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And I think I said to you when I was here in 2020, you know, I'm no handyman, but I know you lay a foundation and then you put the bricks on top of it. And that's you and I. We're the living stones on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And when you get up to window level, you just don't say, well, I'll put another foundation in. No, the one foundation has been laid. But that's what these people are saying. And there's a very good little book that I have called A Hidden Path. And it says this: one of the biggest and fastest growing venues of the New Apostolic Reformation is Bill Johnson and Bethel Church in Redding, California, which has had a tremendous effect on thousands of churches and millions of believers worldwide. And that includes the Journey Community Church in Antrim. The leaders say Apostle Bill Johnson, his sidekick is the prophet Chris Vallotton. This conference in August 2022, they'd had one the previous year as well, where they'd spent something like $85,000 hiring a marquee from France to put up, and the venue was Shane's Castle in Antrim. So we warned people not to be going to that particular place. There's a church in Belfast called Redeemer Central in Donegal Street. It used to be the old Congregational Church, and then the congregation had dwindled, and they rented it out to this group called Redeemer Central, who assured them that they were Orthodox Christians. Well, in March of 2022, I got an email from somebody I don't know who said, you might be interested in this. This was an announcement put up on a screen in Redeemer Central, and this is what it says. Among the members of our leadership, staff, and community, you'll find a wide spectrum of beliefs about questions related to human sexuality and gender identity. And we believe that agreement on these questions should not be the basis of our unity, but the confession of Jesus as Lord by the Spirit is where we center our unity. We also believe that LGBTQ people have a right to know what they can expect from us in terms of belonging, involvement, leadership, and marriage. And the bottom line is that no one at Redeemer Central will be excluded from belonging, involvement, and leadership on the basis of their sexuality or gender identity. And we hope in time that we will have pastors or leaders available to perform weddings for same-sex couples. So that's full-on progressive when they put out a statement like that. It's interesting they were saying we don't need to be necessarily fully agreed on the likes of human sexuality and in gender identity. Our meeting point for unity is confessing Jesus as Lord. When I read that, Matthew 7, verse 21 came immediately to mind. The Lord said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And I can assure these people that the will of God the Father in heaven is not for blessing and organizing same-sex marriages. That is definitely not on the agenda. Then moving on to the June 2023 newsletter, there's a verse in Luke 6, verse 26, and it says this: "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you." I've often been asked, "Cecil, do you ever meet any opposition?" And the short answer is yes. But I can tell you, I would be extremely worried if I didn't meet opposition from time to time. If everybody was speaking well of me, I would think that there was something radically wrong. But in this particular newsletter, I highlighted a number of challenges that I had received. When I was with you in 2020, I mentioned a South African man called Rodney Hard Brown, who had been very prominent in the so-called Toronto Blessing. He had been the main purveyor of holy laughter, as he called it, and he described himself as a Holy Ghost bartender. And the reason I mentioned him in 2020 was that the previous year he had actually spoken in Carriduff Elam Church. My wife and I lived in Carriduff before we moved to Ballinahinch. But I received an email from Mr. Major, and this is what he said: "I'm writing in response to your video on clear lack of understanding of the anointing. Have you ever sat under or operated in the anointing? I would say no, especially to operating in the anointing. I'm trying to address you nicely, but you have a huge ignorance on the anointing and the power of God. I challenge you to come to a Rodney Hard Brown camp meeting, leave your arrogance and pride at the door, and ask the Lord if this is real." So that was the email of challenge to me. Well, I replied to him, and I basically said, "Well, I don't really have to go to any meetings organized by Mr. Hard Brown, because at the time of the Toronto Blessing, I watched endless hours of this man peddling his false teachings and so on." So he replied to me, "It sounds like you just have dead religion with no power or demonstration to back it. I don't need to watch videos, and I have eyewitness experiences firsthand." So for him, his experience overruled anything that the Word of God might teach. In response to that, I quoted the verses, Matthew 7, 21 to 23, about people who will say, "Lord, Lord, did we not do this and do that," and so on. And he will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." So he came back to me he said, right, that's the verse that applies to you. In other words, it applies to me. "Clearly, you're so spiritually dense and dead. You're a dead religious devil, sadly, who was brainwashed at whatever cemetery you attended." Well, I presume he was being sarcastic. You know, instead of using the word seminary, he said cemetery. Well, for his information, I never went to any cemetery or seminary or anything at all. What I have learned by the grace of God, I have learned through studying his word and reading helpful material from men who are sound and so on. So that was one challenge that I received. And then I received another challenge, this time from the Journey Community Church, who have this close association with Bethel, because in March of this year, they were going to be hosting 60 people from the Bethel Church in California to run what they call the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. It's interesting. There's a very good book called Counterfeit Kingdom, and it's by joint authors, a lady called Holly Pivich and then a man called Douglas Givett. And this girl, Holly, says this: "It's the first day of Prophecy Week at the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. There are only three rules in this class," the teacher began. "Rule one, get drunk. Rule two, stay drunk. Rule three, get other people drunk." Now, they're not talking about drink and alcohol. They're talking about being drunk in the spirit as they understand it, which is a perversion. She says, "I was smack dab in the middle of Bethel Church's Fire Starter class, a 12-week course designed to create modern-day revivalists." And then a few pages on in the book, she says this: "In no way did the prophesying I saw at Bethel resemble prophesying found in the Bible. During my Bethel visit, I observed that the activation of supernatural gifts in individuals has more in common with New Age occult practices than with biblical Christianity." This Bethel School of Christianity, it has been dubbed by Christians who recognize it for what it is as Hogwarts for Christians. Now, you may not know what Hogwarts was, but that was the Harry Potter movies, where Harry Potter was going to become a magician and so on. He went to this occultic school called Hogwarts, and so this is what they have dubbed this place in Bethel and their supernatural ministry school. Well, I wrote an article, and it prompted the pastor of Journey Community Church, a man called John Ash, to publicly name me from the platform at a Sunday service. And this is what he said: "Cecil, if you're watching, come join us. We'd love to have you, love to pray for you. Hope the Spirit of God touches your life." And when he said that, there was loud background laughter. And he says, "Good. Some of the stuff the heresy hunters don't believe in. You see, they're very critical about supernatural signs and wonders. Now, I don't understand why they're critical, because you're meant to be like Jesus, and that's what he did. He commissioned his disciples to go into the world, teaching them to obey everything he had commanded them to do. And the four things he instructed them at the Great Commission was to heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead, and preach the gospel." I'm sorry, my Bible does not teach me that that is what the Great Commission was. There was a limited commission during his time of ministry with his disciples, but in Matthew 10, where they were given extra powers to do various things and so on. So that doesn't apply. And then there's a few verses in Mark chapter 16, which some have taken to mean these apply to believers of all time, but they don't. They actually apply to the disciples who were being addressed at the time. But anyhow, so that was a second person challenging what I had said. And then there was another man who took me to task, and he would be the pastor of the main progressive Christian outfit in Northern Ireland, which is Harbour Faith Community in Carrickfergus. The pastor is a man called Steve Ames. Steve Ames was interviewed in the Belfast Telegraph a few years ago when there was a public consultation about same-sex marriage being legalised in Northern Ireland, and he was all for it, and he wanted to be the first one to conduct such a marriage, and he got his wish. In December of that year, he was able to conduct a so-called same-sex marriage. But again, he put something on Facebook where he named me, because what he had done was he had watched video of a talk that I gave on progressive Christianity in April 2021. And in the context of that talk, I said this: "We are not all beloved children of God. And that at that point, he stopped the video and he replayed it a couple of times for effect. So it sounded as if I had just said, we are not all beloved children of God. But if he had let it run for the next 15 or 16 seconds, he would have heard people, he would have allowed people to hear me say this. When we are born into this world, we are born in sin and shapen in iniquity, cut off from God. And it's only when we are born again and saved that we are adopted into the family of God. And at that point, we become his children. But that wouldn't have suited the criticism that he wanted to make against me to let people hear my explanation of what I had said. So, as I say, that was another criticism that I received. Then in that same newsletter, I highlighted a new website that had been set up to promote inclusive faith. When you hear a word like inclusive, that should immediately be a red flag to you. And what it was, all of these people who are basically in the progressive camp, they wanted to have one website on which they could all advertise their wares, if you like. One of the main contributors to the website is the All Souls Non-Subscribing Presbyterian Church in Elmwood Avenue. The minister is a man called Chris Hudson. And this is the church that hosts a service for gay people on the day after they hold their Pride Parade in Belfast. And then they all come to his church to have a so-called service, etc. So this abomination of a website has been set up. Again, in that June 2023 newsletter, I mentioned about a man called Francis Chan. Francis Chan graduated from the Master's University, whose president is John MacArthur. So you would have thought that when he came out of that, he would have been fairly conservative, non-ecumenical, non-charismatic in his outlook. And he appears to have been that for a few years. But then he dramatically changed direction and he started getting involved in all sorts of ecumenical ventures and so on. And I watched him on video saying the following. He says this, I didn't know that for the first 1,500 years of church history, everyone saw it, this is the Eucharist, as the literal body and blood of Christ. And it wasn't until 500 years ago that someone popularized the thought that it's just a symbol and nothing more. Well, by saying that, he shows an abysmal ignorance of church history. Because during those 1,500 years that he's talking about, there were quite a number of groups who did not subscribe to what eventually became known as transubstantiation. And because they wouldn't bow the knee to transubstantiation, they were persecuted and killed by the Church of Rome. But here's this guy, Francis Chan, saying that. And I said in my article, it is simply just not true and is, in fact, a lie. Why was I writing about him? Because he had been invited to address students at the new university in Coleraine on a Saturday night, and it was pushed very heavily, the meeting. And this article I wrote was to warn people off about going to it. Since then, just in recent weeks, video has been posted showing him at a meeting, and he's there involved with Benny Hinn and praising Benny Hinn for being a great person. Well, Benny Hinn is definitely not anyone signed, and so on. So those are newsletters that I have published. I have just finished in recent days my December 2023 newsletter, and it'll be going to the printer in the next week or so, and then it will be issued. In it, I will be highlighting Rome's attempt at a resurgence, particularly in Ireland and Northern Ireland, They are using personalities to push their false teachings. I mentioned a girl called Martina Purdy, who used to be on BBC TV Northern Ireland. She used to be the political correspondent. And then about 9 years ago, she gave it all up, and she and a friend entered an order of nuns in the Falls Road. They actually were the ones who would have baked the bread for use in the Mass. And so she's very much into Eucharistic adoration. And I focus on something she posted on Facebook. Thankfully, there are people who get saved out of Roman Catholicism. And I have a dear friend in England, Claire, and also her husband, Mike. And many years ago, we exchanged loads and loads and loads and loads of emails. And eventually, Claire came to faith. And then she wanted to bring her husband over to speak with myself and Margaret. And she says, well, we'll stay somewhere close by. And we says, no, you can come and stay in the house. So they came for a number of days. And Mike, too, went away realizing that Rome was certainly not Christian. And they're involved in a sound Baptist church outside of Liverpool. So that is something good. I'll also mention last month there was a special synod of synodality held by the Vatican in Rome. In other words, it wasn't just bishops, there was other lay people and so on there. And they are addressing a lot of issues that are floating around in the culture of people around the world, LGBT issues in particular, and transgender issues and so on. And basically what's happening is that Rome is basically softening up their faithful followers to accept a change in relation to these matters. Of course, at the back of all that's happening in Rome, you have the Jesuits, because the current Pope is a Jesuit, and it's the Jesuits who pull the strings of the direction that Rome goes on. And then also I will be mentioning the Harbour Faith community in Carrickfergus once again, and I will be taking them to task over something they posted, where basically they are proclaiming what I would call progressive universal salvation. They put this on Facebook. The gospel message is not that you need to get saved by believing the correct things about God. It is that salvation is already given, whether we realize it or not. You are already a beloved and saved child of God, completely, objectively, and forever. Well, I'm sorry, that's not true. If that was the truth, why did the Lord, the first words he spoke in Mark's gospel were, repent and believe the gospel. End of story, as far as that statement is concerned. So, as you can see, friends, I haven't been twiddling my thumbs over the past 3 years, and that's only a sample of some of the issues that we have had to deal with. But there's a common theme through all of these things. All of these groups and individuals have one thing in common. They reject sola scriptura, the scriptures alone. They give a certain amount of recognition to the scriptures, but they introduce their own thinking and ideas and so on and so forth. And as I said earlier, once you do that, then you pollute the truth about God and his so great salvation. So please do pray on for the work. I take heed. I've often said there's no retirement and no redundancy in the Lord's work, and I'm beginning to discover that that is true. So please pray on. Also, I mentioned that the newsletter I've just written, it will shortly be in December being posted to the ministry website. If you need details of the ministry website, if you ask me, I have wee cards here which give the website address and so on. Now, by way of closing, I want to direct our thoughts just to a couple of verses. One in Isaiah chapter 26, and then we'll be going back to Psalm number 4. So Isaiah chapter 26, and This is one of my favorite verses in all of the scriptures. It's a great promise. Isaiah 26, verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." And running that verse a close second is Psalm 4 and verse 8. Psalm 4 and verse 8. "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." We live in a world where people are seeking peace, but unfortunately, they're looking for peace in all the wrong places. They think they will find peace if their bank balance is big enough. They think they will find peace if they just have another wee drink. Whatever it happens to be, they're looking for peace in all the wrong places. But the only source of true and lasting peace is found in God Himself. I have outlined some of the challenges that are floating around in the religious world today, in that letter that Paul wrote in the preceding chapter. He talked about people having a form of godliness but denying the power. And many of these people have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And when someone is truly saved through faith in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it totally transforms their lives. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. But lots of these people, particularly these progressive people, they don't see any need for a change in lifestyle or anything of that nature. That Harbour Faith community, on their own website, they outline that everybody's welcome, irrespective of their gender or their orientation, not only to become members of their community, but to also be in leadership and so on. So they have a form of godliness, but they deny the true power of the saving, transforming power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as Christians, we could get easily sidetracked into anxiety and worry. But his word says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." And the Psalm 4, verse 8, it has a temporal application. "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." And that relates to our time, you know. God willing, if I get home safely from here to Ballinahinch, I will put my head on the pillow and I will sleep, knowing that I'm in the Lord's hands. But I think it also has an application that when we eventually have the sleep of death, such as described in relation to Lazarus, well, we know that we are in safe hands because it will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. And it will be far better. It will be gain. I was preaching last Sunday morning and I took John chapter 14 and the first six verses. And I mentioned in relation to John's gospel that there's some verses in it that the unbelieving don't like, and even some who claim to be Christian don't like. John 3, verse 7, "Ye must be born again." I know before I was converted and when I would have been going to church, I didn't really understand what it meant to be born again, but I wasn't into this born again stuff and being saved. And then, of course, when I was converted, I knew exactly what it was all about. But there still are people today who faithfully attend church every week, but they're not into that born-again salvation stuff. No, I go every week. I pay my envelopes in, and there's good cause I'll contribute to it, and I don't do anybody any harm. I haven't murdered anybody or anything like that. They just do not understand what the scriptures teach. So that's a contentious verse. But in John 14, verse 6, there's another one. where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that is a red line for Christians. We must never give way on that. Salvation is found only through faith alone, in Christ alone, according to the Scriptures alone, to the glory of God alone. And we must not depart from that. A so-called evangelical, I think he died in the last year, was a man called Tim Keller. I never had any time for Tim Keller's writings, but like Max Lucado, his books used to fly off the shelves in bookshops. He was interviewed one time about this Christ alone. He says, well, that would be my understanding. But, you know, if there's another trapdoor into heaven, well, God hasn't revealed it to me. What a silly comment to make. There's only one way. It's the straight gate and the narrow way. And the Apostle Peter heard Jesus say, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And in Acts 4:12, he said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. So friends, perhaps what I've shared with you tonight, you might be on a bit of a downer. Well, don't be, because the Lord is still in sovereign control. And he gives peace to his people, even in the midst of the gathering storm that you and I are living in. So I trust these few thoughts will be a comfort at this particular time. So thank you.
I do thank our brother tonight for coming and sharing with us something of the ministry that he's involved in. How important it is that we hear of these things and are aware of the things that are happening all under the professing name of Christianity. Many things that go under that name are contrary to the word of God. And the Bible says if they speak not according to the light of God's word, then there's no light in them. That's to be our benchmark in all things, and how we need to pray for wisdom and for guidance and direction, and to be watching out against these things in this day and generation in which we live. I thank our brother for coming, for bringing God's word, and we pray the Lord will richly bless him and use his ministry for the Lord's honour and for the Lord's glory. We just have a season of prayer, but just kind of draw your attention to a little prayer bulletin as well, as out there from our churches in North America, and get those as you leave as well later on this evening. We encourage as many as possible to take part in prayer, right through to about 20 past nine or so. Maybe I'll ask our brother Colin to lead us off in prayer, and then also our brother Mr. Jeffrey Scott, and then one after the other as the Lord would lead us, please. Thank you.